morning and the way the service has gone. I hope the message this morning will be a comfort and a help to people here. I know David's family's involved in a whirlwind firestorm with this suddenness of this attack of on Karen and her body, but there's other of you who are in situations as well, and I just want to tell you today, not only is God able, God is willing to sustain you and to help you through these situations. Turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter number 16. Acts 16, you'll readily recognize the scripture. You've heard it preached many times. No doubt you've heard it taught in Sunday school, read, no doubt yourself, these verses. Of all the messages I've heard preached, every time I hear it preached, there's something new jumps out at me, something new. New truth comes to the fore. And I hope that'll be the case today, where God will use these verses to encourage you and you walk for the Lord. Brother Alex was telling me before the service something to the effect that there wasn't no time warning on getting the call to step in. Well, I remember Paul encouraging Timothy to be instant, in season, out of season. In more modern times, my dad told me that if he ever needed me and called upon me, and I wasn't ready, he would never call on me again, and that stuck with me. It wasn't that he was being prideful. He was simply stating a fact to a young preacher boy that you always need to be ready to give an account of the Word of God. So I would say that to our young preachers today. Be ready in season, out of season. In Acts chapter 16, look in verse 16. It came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas, drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." The multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Our Father, we stand in need of thee greatly this morning. Lord, I pray that first of all, you search me, know me, forgive me of all wicked ways, any wicked way, every bad attitude, every hasty cross word, God, I pray, every unpure thought, Lord, every attitude that would be against thee and thy precious word, God, I beg cleansing and forgiveness this morning. Lord, let nothing stand between me and thee in this hour. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless your people with your presence, as we've always already seen the presence, Lord, of the Holy Spirit in this service. I pray now the Word of God would go forth in the pews, in the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls, in presence and in power. And Lord, I pray that you'd use this section of the Scripture, this account of two men long ago, and how you manifested yourself to them. Lord, help us to see you've not changed. You're still the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you're still able to do exceeding and abundantly above that which we're able to even think. And God, to that end, Lord, help us to pay attention to the Word of God. Put aside what we'll do when we leave here. Put aside any other thoughts of life and, Lord, the things and problems of it. Lord, center our affections and attentions upon you and things above. We'll praise you and thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. It's been a full day for Paul and Silas. If you began at chapter 16, verse number 1, you would see where they've had a full day. they came as they essayed to go over into Macedonia, to Mysia, that the Holy Spirit appeared to them and said, come over here. Here's where the work is. Here's where God is going to use you. It didn't go into all the details of what their visit there in Philippi was going to occur or was going to entail, but nevertheless, as they went there, they came with the knowledge that they were there to serve the Lord. They began their day by going down by the river, and there they've met a woman and some other women there, a woman named Lydia, and they led her to the Lord and her household, and they were baptized, gloriously saved by the grace of God. They began to then go toward the house of God, go up as the custom was, to the hour of prayer, and a woman, a damsel, the Bible calls her with a spirit of divination. In other words, an evil spirit, a spirit of satanic power, a spirit that was unclean in her, began to harass and to call out. Yes, what that demon was saying through her was entirely true. These were servants of the Most High God. But they began, spirit began to harass the men of God, so much so that after the Bible says that she did this many days, and finally Paul turned around and in the power and the presence and the abilities of God cast this demon out. I'm simply rehearsing this to set the stage for where the message is this morning. Well, the ones who were running her, the ones who had control of her, and were making much money because of her ability to fortune tell and her ability to discern supernatural things through the power of Satan, they lost their income and they were very grieved and upset about it. We find Paul and Silas hauled before the magistrates of the city, and they bring them there and they accuse them of being unlawful Romans, being against the empire. Boy, if there was a charge that would land you in prison, it was this charge of not being Roman enough. 2,000 years ago, the entire known world was under the heel and the boot of the Roman Empire. And there was a charge if you were against Caesar, if you were against Rome, the real likelihood, if there's evidence presented, that was that you would lose your life over such a charge. They took these men, and not having, I guess, the Roman authority to execute them, they stripped them down and they beat them unmercifully and cast them into the inner prison. And it is there that we find the text verse in verse 25. And at midnight, Paul, Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. I'm going to tell you, it was a dark day. It was an uncertain time, to say the least, in the lives of these two servants of God. You that are sitting here today and find yourself in this place or this dilemma or that situation, it's uncertain possibly. You may not know the outcome, and you may not can discern how everything's going to play out and how this saga is going to end up. But I can tell you, if you're servants of the Most High God, as these two men were, that help is there and it's on the way. Paul and Silas, as they prayed, they sang praises unto God. I want to sing or preach a message this morning on this thought, songs in the night. Yes, it's easy to whistle a tune when the sun is shining, when the birds are chirping, when life is going well and things are going good. It's easy to serve God and sing a song unto the Lord. I'm mindful, as the emphasis the last few minutes has been on Sister Karen and her illness. Just a little over 2 weeks ago, July the 4th or the 5th, we were eating together. She was vibrant. She was, yes, she had some troubles, little issues, things that she really wasn't concerned about, but she was going about her daily life. There was no thought that come the 24th of July, she would find herself in the situation that she woke up to this morning. How life turns on a dime. How things spin around and head the other way. Head south in just a heartbeat. Here is the men of God. Boy, can you see these two men of God as they're talking and rejoicing over this family, dear family of Lydia that had gotten gloriously saved and baptized.
how the power of God manifested itself in casting out the demon in this young girl, how she came to know freedom in the real sense of the word. And you can see how they're on cloud nine and they're living victory in their lives. Boy, in just a moment, just a sudden surge of a few minutes, it turns on a dime and they find themselves beaten to an inch of their life, thrust into stocks, and put on the inner side of the prison. Our modern day jurisprudence, if you're arrested and you're caught or you're suspected and you're arrested and they put you into the legal system, you have expectations and you have understanding that things are going to progress in a legal fashion. Wasn't the case back in those days. Wasn't the case at all. Nobody came up to Paul and Silas and said, you have the right to remain silent. You have the right to an attorney. You have the right to, if you don't have an attorney, one will be provided for you. No Mirandizing these two servants of God. They were summarily captured. They were summarily disrobed and they were beaten like a dog. As they sat there in those stocks. And I'm going to tell you, in doing some research on the times, I've read much of the Roman era in this world. And they were civilized compared to a lot of the so-called barbarian tribes, non-Roman tribes, in how they administered justice. The Romans were rather civilized, if you can call hanging someone on a cross for a week at a time until they asphyxiated and died, civilized. These folks threw these two men in prison, and I want you to get the gravity of the situation here, because many of you are in grave situations, or you know someone who is in a grave situation. It's hard in these hours to have hope. Well, this was Paul, preacher. After all, this was the Apostle Paul. This was the super Christian, super saint Silas. I'm going to tell you, I don't begin to put myself in this class of men, but I'm going to tell you, even preachers and men of the church, women of the church that have been saved for decades, been serving God for decades, even they are not immune to the attacks and the buffeting of Satan. How much more so would we who have not been saved long, neophytes in this walk of Christianity, how much more does the devil sift us? Just a few months, I have been saved 57 years. That's an incredible number to me. Most of you have not even been alive 57 years. But in 57 years, I've never got to the place, even to standing here in this pulpit this morning, I've never got to the place where I thought I had arrived and I was immune, because every time I think I'm finally getting a little spiritual maturity, I'll do or say something and just demonstrate my utter fallacy before God, my utter failures as a man before God. When you've arrived, you'll find out quickly it's probably the wrong destination. Because you'll never arrive with Christ until we're with Him. Two things I want to say about this songs in the night. It was a song in spite of earthly conditions. In verses 19 through 24, the conditions that they were in, and I've spent a few minutes this morning outlining these conditions, horrid conditions, adverse conditions these men find themselves. We're sitting in an air-conditioned church in padded pews. Nobody has a threat of arrest upon you, at least not for the cause of Christ. And we're sitting here this morning enjoying and being beneficiaries of a quiet time in service of God. Would you not agree? I don't see anyone here today that is apt to be arrested because you witnessed or you handed out a tract for the cause of Christ. These men were in dire straits, and they had a song in the night in spite of the earthly conditions. Notice their physical afflictions. Paul was no stranger to physical afflictions. He was no stranger to the buffeting of Satan in his body. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he outlines what all that he had going on as far as in general terms, how Satan, the messenger of Satan, buffeted him, and he begged God to do something about it.
As we stayed in this altar and begged God for Karen, I don't know the outcome as far as physically in this world. I don't know what her life is going to be like, but I do know God is willing and he's able and he can and he will meet her need if she'll turn to him. So, Preacher, will he heal her? That I cannot say that he will heal her, but he will minister to her, and he will, in the midst of her adversity, he will be a ready, present help in the hour of need. I remember as we got the news about my dad on June 11th, 2018. I'll never forget that day. I'll never forget where we were. I'll never forget that small cubicle of an office when that doctor delivered the news that he delivered. And from that day till the day that he went on to be with the Lord, I prayed and begged God to change the situation, to touch my dad, to even if necessary, God, give his disease to me, because this man means so much to so many people. God healed him. As we stood that Monday and rather that Sunday and preached that funeral, I could stand and say with a surety and authority that God healed my dad. Amen. The outcome is not predicated upon what we think it ought to be. Christianity 101, it's him, and it's always been about him, and it shall always be about him. It's not about us and what we desire and what we'd like to see happen. Lord, help this world if I could get my way on some things. Help this country. Help a huge segment of this country if I could simply, God would grant my prayers and he would grant what I wanted to see in this country. It might not be the best for everybody. So he runs it the way, and he allows it to go the way he wants it to go. These men, as they sat in that dungeon, in that inner cell, in this physical affliction. How many of you this week have suffered some sort of injury? You stubbed your toe, you scraped a shin or something, you've pinched a nerve. How many people have some physical ailments that come up this week? Yeah, some of you. You're being honest, amen. I have been battling for 2 weeks a tendon in my elbow. It's excruciating. I cannot tie my tie without just agony. I can't fold my collar down without my wife helping me. Most mornings, I'm going for a doctor's visit in a few weeks, so I'm going to talk to him about that. But my point being, every one of us, you take what's wrong with us and you magnify that all over your body. The hurt that you feel in one part, you put it entirely over your entire being, and you get an idea of what these two men are going through. A flogging, a scourging in those days often was life-ending. They beat these men, the Bible says, with many stripes. These men sat in stocks, and they were in the last possible physical position to expect them to serve God by our understanding and our reasoning. Would you agree with that? I mean, you're seeing these two men and what they've endured. In spite of serving God faithfully, in spite of doing God's will, this is what happens to them. Don't you know that's a four-lane highway for the devil to come right into their hearts? These men had a song despite their physical afflictions, and they had a song of victory despite the implications. They didn't know if they were going to leave that prison alive. They had no idea what was going to happen to them, and neither do you or I. I talked about Sister Karen, how suddenly this has come into her life, how overwhelmingly it is just, I don't have the words to describe the devastating effect in her life this illness has caused. How quickly we can be overcome. Notice not only the physical affliction, but the psychological assaults. The mind is the battlefield of the believer. It's not your heart. Your heart belongs to the Lord if you're saved.
Your heart is secure and is indwelt by the Holy Spirit, but this mind, this fleshly, Adamic mind that we still possess, there's nowhere in Scripture that tells you that that mind is completely turned around and changed and impervious to the assaults of Satan. It talks about a renewing of the mind, suggesting that the mind gets in a terrible fix, a terrible place, a terrible position, and the mind plays tricks on your emotions. The mind is a devastating thing when it's out of whack. And the Bible encourages us to renew our minds through the Lord. The mind is, I think about that old commercial, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. And indeed it is. But not because of higher education somewhere that you don't get to take. A mind that is spent worrying, and a mind that is spent, the devil spends chasing our mind and our fears and our worries, we're of no use to God. No use to God. I believe in mental illness. Let me just categorically say that. I'm not one of these preachers that says if you're not singing hallelujah, glory to his name every moment of the day, there must be sin in your life. I believe that the scourge of mental illness is real due to numbers of things. Chemical imbalances, hereditary things that you have no control over. But I'm saying in the mind is where the devil will attack the believer. The mind. You see these men sitting here, super saints, both of them. I mean servants of the Most High God. Do you think their mind is less susceptible to Satan trying to pull in those thoughts? It's a human mind. God has not saved our minds to the exclusion of the attacks of Satan. I say that so that you don't get bogged down and you worry and you fear and you go to pieces on things that the devil may bring to your mind. Don't entertain them. Don't give them place. James says, do not give place to the devil. That's where you give place to him, is in your mind. It is from the mind that thoughts and emotions flow. It is the mind that controls what we think in our heart, and then is subsequently what we act out in our members. The mind. Satan attacks with fear. He attacks with depression. Satan attacks with mental oppression. I had verses for all of that, but I want to quickly get on to the second point. A song in spite of earthly conditions, but lastly, a song inspired by heavenly convictions. I want to humbly say this. I want to throw it out there, and I want you to hear me. If you don't live for God now, when trouble comes, you won't live for Him then, and you're going to be in a world of hurt and trouble. You better consider in the good times serving the Lord God. If you want God available, and if you want to have a prayer life in the midnight hour, if you want to be able to sing songs to God in the midnight hour, you better serve Him now while things are going well. Well, is God capricious? Is he somebody who's trying to get revenge on me? Is He not going to come help me in my hour? You won't be in condition in those stressed times to reach out to God if you can't serve Him in the good times. You'll do like so many others I've seen. You'll just depart totally. You'll get out of church. You'll just leave it all because you're overwhelmed and you don't know what to do. A song inspired by heavenly convictions. A man without convictions, a lady without convictions are blown about. I don't want you to have the wrong convictions. But get in this book and get some core convictions settled and grounded in your heart so when these midnight hours come, there's something there to stand upon. Paul was a man of conviction. He had the conviction of unmerited grace. My, what a preacher and an advocate for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, as opposed to the justification by the law. How grace abounds where sin abounds, grace much more abounded. Paul had a conviction of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. For by grace are ye saved through faith. That faith, it's not even of yourself, but it's the gift of God.
Heard the old adage, I'll get saved when I want to. No, you won't, because you'll never want to. Short of the Holy Ghost bringing conviction to your heart and showing you who you are and who He is, you'll never be saved. If you're here lost this morning, you understand that. When the Lord deals with your heart, then is the day of salvation. He was a man of conviction on unmerited grace, unlimited power. Paul was plugged in. If you take a paper clip, bend it in a U-shape, and go to one of these outlets and stick it in one of those outlets, you're going to become acquainted with something called electricity. You can't see it. You can't smell it. You can smell the after effects, which I've done many times. My brother Tony sitting here this morning got me in the elevator business, which necessarily is all about electricity. I'm sure he has, and I stand here today telling you I've been shocked many times. I never saw it coming. I never smelled it. I never heard it. I never sensed it. When it grabs you, though, you know you've got it. Don't do that with that paperclip. Young children, do not do that with that paperclip. I was being illustrative in my preaching. Stay away from outlets. This power of God is likened unto electricity. You can't see it. You can see the effects of it. You may not can smell it. You might can smell when somebody runs by in the power of God and God's all over them. You might can smell perspiration or something. But this power of God is more real than electricity. Amen. And when it gets a hold of you, and when it gets, magnetizes you. How many of people, you know what magnets are? Did you know that you can take an iron core and take some copper windings and induce a voltage in there, and that core becomes magnetized? And that's how they're able to pick up huge cars and things with a disc about that big around. They put a current in it, and it becomes what's called an electromagnet, and it'll grab and hold. You become, under the power of God, magnetized and attracted toward God. Some of us, we wonder, why don't we feel a pull and a tug toward God? It might be that we just need a fresh infusion of God's electricity in our lives. Paul and Silas' song was inspired by right living. It's what I said a while ago. If you won't live right today, you won't live right in that hour. S.S. Perkel preached one of the great messages I've heard in my lifetime about if the footman tire you, what will horses do? If you can't serve God when things are going well, when the footmen are assaulting you, what are you going to do when the devil's cavalry rides down upon you? I mean the real problems, the real issues, the real calamities of life. One of the things I heard about Sister Karen, I knew this, but it was so gratifying to hear her pastor say this, that she was one of the most faithful members of Gateway Baptist Church. Hallelujah for that. Praise the Lord for that, that she lives a life in front of other people, that they can assault the throne of the Lord Christ, begging Him to help her under the knowledge that she's a faithful servant to Him. Means all the difference in the world in how we pray for somebody is what kind of life are they leading? What kind of life are they living? Paul and Silas' song was inspired by their right living. Lastly, this morning, it was inspired by right leaning. If you're one of these, and I guard against this myself, if you're one of these that trust to your own sufficiency, you'll never be anything for God. You just won't. You'll go through life continually up and down, dependent on your abilities to carry the day in a particular situation. You're not leaning on God, you're leaning to your own understanding. Proverbs 3, verse 5 warns us about that. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Paul and Silas didn't just start leaning on God in the midnight hour. A lifetime, from the time Paul was saved on the Damascus Road, from the time Silas surrendered and was saved gloriously by the grace of God, these men leaned upon the Lord Jesus Christ and His power, and they could have a song in the midnight hour. In verse 25, we see this leaning affected the behavior of Paul and Silas. In verses 26 through 28, we see where this leaning on God affected the behavior of the fellow prisoners. Not a one of them booked when the doors were shook loose and the jail cell security was compromised. Not one of them ran out into the streets to get away. That's phenomenal. That's unheard of. A prisoner that, even if he had been there under sentence of death, he stayed in the cell through the power of God. This leaning affected the behavior of the jailer in verses 29 through 34. You know the story, how he was gloriously saved in his house. This leaning also affected the behavior of the authorities, where if you look over in verse 35, they came there in the morning and said, "Let these men out, let them go." It wasn't that they had a change of heart toward the God that they served, and it wasn't that they had a change of heart toward these men's witness for that God, but they understood these two men, we don't want them around because of who they lean on and who they trust. There's a deliverance. Listen to me. There is a deliverance in this kind of leaning. Your heart and life, you're beset by this or that. There's issues going on. I don't know them. I probably can't help you with them. But I can tell you, leaning on Christ, leaning to His understanding, leaning to His direction, there's a deliverance to be found in that. Oh, that God would hear a song in the night from us today as the midnight hour in our life comes. Instead of hand-wringing, wailing, moaning, and groaning, would that God hear a song from me in my midnight hour. I thought much after watching my father-in-law stand at his bedside and him go into eternity to meet God 6 years ago, just a little over 6 years ago. 3 years ago, August the 2nd, I did the same with my dad. That will cause you, when you're in the presence of people going into eternity, it'll cause you to think about your own mortality. I'm old by anybody's standards. That's a lie that 64 is the new 54. No, it's not. And you that are 64 or older, you know that to be a lie. You want to think that. You want to think, well, I can do all that I used to could do. The reality is, I can't do a fraction of what I used to do. I can't do it as long, and I can't do it as fast, and I can't do it without paying the price the next day. I picked up a couple of things Friday that were heavy. Well, Saturday morning I woke up and I thought, well, that didn't bother me too bad, these logs that I picked up. Saturday evening I was so stiff I was starting to think I'd done something wrong and bad. These old bodies, they're going to let us down. When our midnight hour comes, regardless of what it is, let me just say this to our young people. You get the idea as you're young, you're a teenager, you're maybe even 11 or 12, hadn't hit your teen years, you feel like nothing can ever touch you, that there's no problems ever going to come into you, that it always hits the older people. I was telling someone this recently, I can take you over to that graveyard down in Packlet. I can take you over there and I can show you young people and their graves. I can show you the birth date and I can show you the death date, and many of them were teenagers. Several of them. You better serve the Lord, young person. If you're not saved, give careful thought. Give careful thought. And ask the Lord to come speak to your heart. Give careful thought about your soul. Because these midnight hours come to all of us. They come to all of us. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, Sister Holly's going to play a song. Not going to delay an invitation on and on. I believe if the Lord deals with people, they know it. And I'm telling you, if the Lord's dealing with you about whatever, now's the time to move and to do something about that. The midnight hour is coming. Rest assured, there's going to come a time where you're going to need the Lord in the worst sort of way. Are you living now to have that help then? I'm going to tell you the end result of these two men had they not lived for the Lord. They probably would not have made it out of that prison alive. We certainly would not be reading the account of these two men in a victorious fashion. Both of them had much to endure yet for the cause of Christ. Paul one day would have his life taken from him because he stood for the right. I hope I don't live to see the day where we start losing our lives for the cause of Christ in this country. I hope the legal system, the government, never gets so degenerate and so anti-God that they would even jail preachers for preaching the Word of God. We have no guarantees of that. I believe there will be a day where we will be limited by penalty of the law onto what we can preach about and preach against. I believe that. But until that day, let's serve the Lord. Let's live for the Lord. And when that day comes, we'll be able to stand. We'll have a song in the night in that day. I don't know what the pastor was going to preach this morning, but I know the Lord knew what was going to transpire. And I know that there's somebody sitting here today. This message was for you, perhaps more than one. The midnight hour is coming. Will you be singing a song of praise, or will you be singing a song of woe? I want to live now like I wish I'd have lived when I'm in that hour. I want to live that way now. God, help me to do that. Our fathers, we've reached the end of this service. Lord, we thank you for showing up in our service and touching hearts. We thank you for the work that was done during the singing. And Lord, I can only beg you to take my stammering utterings and misaligned thoughts. Lord, get honor and glory out of them in somebody's heart and life because of the Word of God. I pray you'll take your Word, sow that seed in that heart. Help us, Lord. Help us to serve you now so that we can have a song in the night. Praise you and thank you for that in Jesus' name, just for His sake. Amen and amen. Thank you for coming this morning. 7:30 tonight. 7:30 tonight. We'll